It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
It's Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Got a little frog in my throat, man. This hot weather and going in and out of air conditioning and things like that, it's really got me a little
sexy.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll go with that. We'll go with sexy.
Wow.
But I'm sexy Jop, and that's Bob.
What was that?
Conrad just came out on air.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hell.
I know we've been fighting it for a while.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us to this really weird show.
Right.
That's revealing more than just recipes,
right?
Apparently. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for joining the smokiest and strangest show on the airwaves. We have a wonderful celebration coming up for our country.
Independence Day.
We're going to give you just a couple of ideas as to maybe a way to make your independence celebration different.
So I'm going to get the heavy lifting out of the way first, and it's sanitary and be careful in this heat, because I think that a lot of things can go bad in a hurry if you've got raw product out by your grill and you're getting ready to prepare it and it's sitting in 90 to 95 degree heat. And it's not so much the product, it's what's left behind that always causes the problem. And if you, like, I know that I'll season my, let's use skinless, boneless chicken thighs. Love them. Cook them almost every
week.
Going
to buy some right after this?
Yeah, there you go. So, but, you know, you take those things out. They got a little bit of fat on them. A lot of times I'll just trim some of that off. There's just too much on it. And then they're sitting on the cutting board. I season them, and then I light the grill and get it hot. If it's charcoal, that's 15, 20 minutes. If it's, you know, gas, it might be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. But the point is that in this heat, that bacteria can grow quickly. And it's not about the chicken, because you're going to put that on the grill and it's going to get cooked and any bacteria will get cooked and you don't have to worry about it. But it's on the cutting board and it's on your tongs. And if you're using the same tongs that you put it on the grill with later in the cook, there's still bacteria on the ends of those tongs because they aren't cooked, but the chicken is. And now you're putting that back on your chicken. And if you're doing it right when you take it off, it can get dicey.
And there's your morning thought.
Right.
Chicken juice.
Right. But I just think that be careful out there. This
is
the 4th of July.
Well, you're opening up a can of worms as well as a bag of chicken.
Right, exactly.
So I have switched over to all wooden cutting boards because I've noticed plenty of, let's say, informationals about the plastics that actually get cut up on a cutting board and end up in your meat.
Okay.
And so
if your knives are sharp, I could see that happening.
Oh, it does, yeah. And you look at your plastic cutting boards, and there's tons of little pebbles all on top, and they're just waiting to jump off on the next piece you cut.
Right.
So that being said, it'd be okay to use those old plastic cutting boards as a tray to carry them out to the grill on. But I would still sand off all that debris. I would get it off of there because plastic isn't good for your muscles.
Right. And the wooden cutting boards, Bob, you got to clean those pretty well. Now, they're not dishwasher.
Well, you not only have to clean them, but when you're done cleaning them, you have to what?
Oil them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
exactly.
deal.
Seal
That's
it up.
That's your protection.
Right. Yep. And because as you cut, wood is porous. And if you got sharp knives like we do, sometimes you push a little too hard and you'll dent that board, and then you're driving in whatever juice or you had. And that's why you use that soapy water. But to your point, when you're done with that soapy water, just a little bit of any kind of cooking oil, olive oil, whatever it is, and you just rub that in there and then store your board, and you'll be fine.
I happened to make some fish this week that turned out really well. You know, I bought that Wild Alaskan online.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're dropping fresh fish to you.
Yes. Well, it's frozen.
Right. But I mean,
flash frozen.
Flash
but
frozen,
it's a phenomenal. And I have now no halibut left. But.
Well, that'd be the first thing to win if I opened that box, man. I love halibut.
Well, the prawns were phenomenal too, but it's a very cool way to buy seafood. It's called Wild Alaskan. But the first time I made it, I made it exactly like a buddy of mine in Erie, Pennsylvania made it for me, and we had a wonderful night on his deck, and I loved his style and recipes. But my wife is just, you know, so Irish and English, that's half of her bloodline, that she grew up with fish and chips.
Sure.
Fish, in her mind, has to be coated in something and deep fried.
Right.
So this time, that's what I did. Because I made this beautiful recipe for, and she barely touched it. And I was brokenhearted because it's like $30 a pound, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I hate to give that to the cats, but I know what they're going to say.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
This time I hit a home run.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell me about your batter, because that's the big thing on fish. What'd you do?
Well, I've moved all over the place, but, you know, very often, as many cookbooks as I have, I will do what everybody does and go online and start surfing. And the one that tends to be what her and I both like most is a tempura.
Okay, yep.
And that one, they're all really simple. It's flour and egg and water or milk or whatever calls for. But that one has some baking soda with it.
Right. Fluffs it up a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And that also, I was doing it wrong. I thought you had to dredge it through egg and then through flour and then dip it in. You can actually just pat your meat dry and dip it in the batter, and it holds, in my opinion, better.
Right. We have a friend of the show, Captain Ken. He's a walleye guy. He's over in Saginaw Bay. Haven't talked to Captain Ken in a couple years, but he taught me a lot about a lot of things. But the one thing he taught me about battering fish, which I think is a great secret that's not a secret anymore, is if you put that fish in ice water, get the fillet really cold.
Yes.
And then you dredge it in the batter and put it immediately into the fry pan.
Time out. Soak it in ice water, and then what? Pat it dry.
Right. But you want the fillet cold. That's where I'm at, because that cold fish with the batter hitting the hot oil makes that batter crisp up. And it's just an easy little technique, but he'd have his fish sitting in just a Tupperware with ice in it and water. It might be in there 15 minutes before he cooks it, and he takes it out. Like you said, pat it dry, run it through the batter, and drop it in there immediately when that fish is cold. Makes a difference. It really does. And
we ever do without paper towels?
Right. I don't know, man. Oh, I go through a lot this time of year. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I buy the giant packs at Costco.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And you can go through a bunch of that stuff in a hurry.
Yeah.
We had the solstice was a couple Saturdays ago. And so we had three couples over, and I went to Sobey and got some just beautiful ribeyes. And then one of the guys that came down is a big walleye fisherman, and we had surf and turf, and it was ribeye and walleye. So it was a double vision party, right? And, we had a lot of
fun. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, it was really good. And highly recommended if any of you've got walleye in there. And we deep fried that in, you know, just oil, like you said, and with a batter, and the fish was cold, crispy. I think that the ladies really enjoyed the walleye as much as they did the steaks. I mean, I'm still a big ribeye guy. I had nothing better on my grill than a ribeye, but the walleye was fantastic, too.
I did play around with a little mac and cheese that these noodles come from Aldi's, and it's an Italian noodle. But they're really big and beautiful, bigger than I would typically normally want. But I made up the cheese sauce this time with a huge blend of cheeses, and I literally left the water in with the noodles and melted down my cheeses right in that. And the first thing I started with was cubes of
Velveeta.
Yes.
I knew you were going there.
It's a sacred base to me.
Right.
That, and I put some Gruyere.
Yep.
Some Friere.
Yeah, we all get
and
that.
And then some cheddar and some Monterey Jack, and oh my gosh, a little bit of mustard, a little bit of cayenne.
Yep.
It was probably the best mac and cheese I've ever eaten.
Mm, yummy. Coming up next, we've got Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. They got a big sale going on for the 4th of July. It is the quintessential grilling weekend between now and next weekend. You're on vacation, hopefully.
And here's how pampered he is. He's not even there.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back.